this scripture.
好，是来到诗篇第六篇。
Psalm 6.
第一节到第十节。
1 through 10.
诗篇第六篇第一节到第十节。好，翻到的时候我们一起来攻读神的话。好，预备，请。耶和华，求你可怜我，因为我软弱。耶和华，求你医治我，因为我骨头发颤，我心也大大的惊惶。耶和华，你要到几时才救我呢？耶和华，求你转回搭救我，因你的慈爱拯救我。因为在死地无人纪念你，在阴间有谁称谢你呢？我因哀哼而困乏，我每夜流泪，把床榻飘起，把褥子湿透。我因忧愁眼睛干瘪，又因我一切敌人眼睛昏花。你们一切作孽的人离开我吧，因为耶和华听我的垂哀哭的声音，耶和华听了我的恳求，耶和华必收纳我的祷告。我的一切仇敌都必羞愧，大大惊惶，他们必要后退，忽然羞愧。好，我们读到这里。好，我相信我们每一个人都会遭遇患难，同不同意？
So I believe all we all will encounter difficult times sooner or later.
特别是最近这一阵子，我们当中有好几位突然间无预期的离开这世界。
Especially lately, there are some among us suddenly passed away.
我相信这些家庭现在正在遭受患难跟艰辛。
And I believe those families are going through some tough times right now.
然而要克服我们人生的艰苦患难，我相信是正在身处其中的人所期待的。
So how to overcome this kind of suffering, I believe it's those people who are suffering are trying to figure out.
也是那些想要帮助这些遭遇患难者他们所期待了解的。
And not only, but also for those who are trying to comfort them.
目的就是为了能够学会一个实际有效的方法来度过难关，是不是？
So our goal is to find a practical way to overcome difficult times.
那在圣经当中记载了许多人遭遇患难的故事，尤其是大卫。
So in the Bible, there are many stories about people suffering, especially King David.
也许我们把大卫当成是一个伟人或是英雄人物，只觉得他很了不起，却没有特别留意他是如何克服患难的过程，以为那是理所当然。
So many people, admire David, how great a king he is, how brave man he is, but we overlooked how he conquered his suffering and difficult times.
其实大卫跟我们一样，都是普通的凡人。
Just like us, David is a man like us.
但是不同的是，他懂得抓住神的心意，并且成为一个合神心意的人。
But he understands God's heart, and he knows how to rely on God.
于是他就能够以神所喜悦的方式、原则来胜过一切的艰难。
That's why he has this principle that is pleasing God to conquer his difficulties.
在今天我们所读的经文诗篇第六篇，我发现其中隐藏了一段大卫知道如何知道神的心意，于是便能够重新得力，克服患难。
So in the book of Psalm chapter 6, I think there is a story about David, how he relied on God and regained strength and overcome.
这个秘诀我相信也可以成为我们今天的帮助与提醒。
And also this secret can help us also.
简单的说，在这段经文当中有三个步骤非常的实用，可以实际帮助我们重新得力，克服患难。
And in this scripture, there are three practical steps that can help us.
好，第一个呢，是要勇敢地面对问题。
So the first one is bravely face the problems.
好，让我们再一次来读一到三节，好吗？
Let's read 1 through 3.
请，耶和华，求你不要在怒中责备我，也不要在烈怒中惩罚我。耶和华，求你可怜我，因为我软弱。耶和华，求你医治我，因为我的骨头发颤，我的心也大大惊惶。耶和华，你要到几时才救我呢？好，他怎么样如何面勇敢的面对问题呢？有三方面。第一个是勇敢的接纳上帝的管教。
So the first is bravely accept God's discipline.
第一节他说，耶和华，求你不要在怒中责备我，也不要在烈怒中惩罚我。
So the first word is, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath.
那个惩罚就是管教。
So rebuke is discipline.
那我们知道，并非所有的患难都是来自神的管教，但是很多时候却是神特意用管教来，用患难来管教我们。
So we know not all sufferings come from God's discipline, but sometimes God does discipline us through sufferings.
而我们看见诗人大卫目前所处的光景。
So let's look at David.
他就像不听话的孩子，不断的惹父母生气，挑战父母的极限，直到父母忍无可忍，于是就发怒管教了。
It was just like a child and disobedient and keep pushing his parents' limit and finally got the discipline he deserves.
然后小孩子就学乖了，跪地求饶，下次不敢了，下次不敢了。
And then when punished, the child will surrender and beg for mercy.
我们都有这样的经历，都有这样的经历，可能你自己的家庭，或者你曾经跟你的父母曾经有这样的求饶的经历。那同样的，大卫这时候仿佛感受到神在怒中责备他，在烈怒中管教他。
So here it seems like David realized that God was angry at him and he was punishing him, for what he has done.
所以他就开口祈求说：“上帝能够开恩啊，求饶啊，希望神赶快停止管教啊。”
So and then he start begging God for mercy.
如果事实不是这样的话，那大卫一定会祷告说：“神啊，你为什么要向我发怒呢？求你鉴察我的心怀意念，我没有做错什么事啊，是不是？”
If it not so, David would pray, God, why are you punishing me? Why are you angry at me?
所以当大卫可以这样祷告，我觉得他这个行动呢非常了不起。
So I think it's a great example that David could acknowledge.
因为当大部分人遭遇患难的时候，可能就会埋怨神的不公平。但是大卫遭遇患难的时候，他很诚实的，也很勇敢的去接纳这个来自神的管教的事实。
Since a lot of us, when we suffer, we blame God. But here, when David suffers, he honestly and bravely acknowledged God's discipline.
管教的过程也许是痛苦、煎熬的，但是它的结果却是好的。
However, the discipline is painful, but the result is good.
在希伯来书十二章十一节这样说。
In Hebrew 12:11 says.
让我们一起来共读，预备。
No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produces harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
就是以好，再来，在启示录三章十九节也这样说。好，预备，预备，请。
Those who I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent.
心也要悔改。好，那到底大卫是做错什么事情让神管教呢？我们不知道。
So what did David do in order for God to discipline him? We're not sure here.
从接下来的经文当中，我们可以发现到一些线索。
But we could find some hints through the following verses.
第二个勇敢面对问题是勇敢的承认个人的软弱。
So the second point is bravely admit personal weakness.
第二节我们一起来读好不好？预备，请。
Let's read together.
怎么没有人要读啦？第二节，预备，请来，请人。因为我软弱，耶和华，求你医治。因为我好，很明显的，我们从这段经文看见大卫所遭遇的问题，不是因为上帝搞错了而降灾，而是大卫亲口承认他个人的软弱而受罚。
So from this prayer, we know David knows it's because of what he has done that God disciplined him.
那事实上我们知道了，为了尊严啊，死不认错是大部分人的通病。
So we know that for at least for many of us, for the sake of pride, we never admit making any mistakes.
但大卫他不管，他只在神面前坦诚。
But David here is so honest in front of God.
至于大卫是如何软弱呢？经文没有提到细节。但是至少我们看见大卫愿意放下自尊，勇于承认自己的问题，这就很不容易。
So the scripture didn't tell us David's weakness, but at least we can see here David's admitting that he has done wrong.
你看大卫他勇敢的认错，他承认目前的光景何点的可怜，他内心软弱，骨头发颤。但更重要的是什么？是大卫知道神是满有怜悯与丰盛恩典的。
So however, here we can see David, he said he's faint and his bones are in agony, admitting his fault. But he also know that God is merciful.
所以他才大胆求神怜悯他，医治他。
That's why he asked God to heal him, to show mercy to him.
这是非常重要的。
And this is very important.
为什么呢？因为承认自己软弱的目的，不是为了赌气而扛下责任，消极的把错都怪自己，乃是要找寻问题，得到医治，才能够重新出发。
So because admitting fault is not only take on the responsibility, but also find where the problem resides.
所以他不单是坦诚个人的软弱与罪恶，更是勇敢地寻求神的大能的医治与拯救。
So he's not only admitting his fault, but also seeking for God's healing.
而使他能够重新得力，不再软弱。
So that he can regain strength.
正如圣经所说的，在约翰一书一章十九节。
Just like 1 John.
我们一起来读好不好？
Let's read together.
请。
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just,
and
will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
于是我们在得到神的赦罪与医治之后，才能够有勇气继续面对我们前面人生的挑战。
That's why after receiving God's forgiveness and healing, we'll be able to regain strength to face our challenges.
最后一个是要勇敢地表达内心的情绪。
And the third one is we have to express our emotions.
第三节说我心也大大的什么？惊惶。
So the verse 3 said, my heart, my soul is in deep anguish.
在华人的文化以及我们成长的环境，我们被灌输一种压抑情绪的习惯。
So according to our Chinese culture, we were taught to control our emotions.
我们例如我们常说男儿有泪怎么样？不轻弹。
Such as we say men do not shed their tears easily, lightly.
以为不论我们再大的面对再大的痛苦都要强忍住泪水，否则就是懦弱的表现。
So no matter how painful the situation is, we still hold our tears, otherwise it would be a sign of weakness.
我以前都这样相信。
I do believe so before.
但谁说牧师不能够痛哭，也不能够狂笑？
But who said pastor cannot cry and laugh loudly?
我只有在这里才敢。有时候在一些教会，哇，牧师笑都要笑得很圣洁。
So it's only in our church, in some church, I have to really control myself.
我在这边狂笑，你们都不会挑我毛病。
So if I laugh loudly here, nobody will laugh at me.
谁说只有女生才会怕小蛇老鼠？
Who said only girls is afraid of rats and snakes?
我认识一个身材魁梧的彪形大汉。你如果告诉他地上有蟑螂啊，我告诉你，他马上跳到桌子上面。
So, but I know someone big and strong, but a cockroach can make him jump on the table.
情绪是神造人时就赋予人有这个权利跟自由去感受。
So emotions are given to man when God created man.
无论是喜怒哀乐，或是恐惧害怕，所有的人都应该以正常的管道去表达与抒发，而不应该去隐藏与压抑。
So it doesn't matter if it's happiness, sadness, anger, or fear, we should express freely, not to suppress them.
而大卫在这里勇敢地表达他现在的情绪，不但是骨头怎么样？发战，心里也怎么样？大大什么？惊惶。
And we can see here David clearly expressed his emotion, his bones in agony, and his soul is in anguish.
奇怪了，不是说勇者不惧吗？
So strangely, didn't we say that brave man has no fear?
这如何跟一个大能的勇士所应当有的形象连接在一起呢？
So how can we connect this with this brave man David?
其实这是华人的文化，幸好大卫不是中国人。
But that's only according to our Chinese culture, not for David.
神不管你是谁，外在条件有多厉害，忧伤痛悔的心怎么样？忧伤痛悔的心是良药，怎么你们圣经跟我不一样了？忧伤痛悔的心怎么神怎么样？不轻看呐。
Doesn't matter who you are, and God will not ignore your aching heart.
好，勇敢表达内心的情绪，没有什么好丢脸的。
So it's not a shameful thing to express your emotions.
反而你若刻意的隐藏，你不但容易成为一个不真诚的人，对自己心理健康也不好，更不会因此讨神喜悦。
So if you're trying to hide your emotions, it's dishonest and unhealthy, which cannot please God.
好，第一个步骤呢，是要勇敢的来承认，来面对啊这些的问题。第二，不是只有这个，第二要竭力的操练祷告。
So the second point is we need to practice our prayer.
好，接下来到第四到第七节，我们一起来攻读。
Let's read 4-7.
预备，请。
转
回，拯救我，你的慈爱拯救我，因为在死地无人纪念你。褥子失控，因我所眼睛干瘪，又因我的疾病。
好，要克服患难，除了要勇敢的面对问题，而不退缩逃避，才能够全面了解事情真相，找出改进的原因。
So to overcome suffering, other than bravely face it, and we have to locate the source of the problem.
那接下来呢，就要好好的向神祷告了。
And also, next thing is we have to pray earnestly.
然而，祷告是需要操练的，因为没有人天生就会祷告。
So no one knows how to pray, but it needs practice.
同不同意？
同意。
要操练。那怎么操练呢？
But how to practice?
我常常分享我第四被要求公开祷告的经验，真的是地上有一个洞，我都要挖，都要躲起来了。
So sometimes we share your experiences first time you pray, and I say, you know, I wish there's a hole in the ground that I can hide myself.
因为没有操练啊，第一次祷告真的是非常的丢脸啊。我已经讲过了，不要再讲一次了，丢脸了哈。
So without practice, the first time praying in public, it's really difficult.
所以我相信祷告呢，操练不是单调一成不变的。
But I know prayers are not always the same.
否则呢，我们只需要一个录音机。你就录那个祷告很好听的东西，录一次，然后天天就放给上帝听就好了。
Otherwise, you can just record it and play it over and over again.
我看上帝是富有创意的。
But God is creative.
你看上帝创造了哪一个是一模一样的
？Look, God created us. None of us look alike.
哇，你有机会去外面看看，你就算你在家，我们每个人长得不一样，每个人的指纹都不一样，每个人走路的动作都不一样，哇，多有创意！
So just go look around. Nobody look alike. Your fingerprints are different. And even within your families, everybody's different. So how creative God is.
甚至你看那些动物，你看起来都一样。我告诉你，他们都可以分得出来，不一样。
And also, if you look at the animals, it seems like they're all the same, but they're not.
神是那有创意，所以人向神祷告也需要有创意。
So God is creative. And so when we pray to God,
那至少在接下来的经文几节当中，大卫有三种不同的祷告风格，我们可以来参考学习。
So according to the following verses, there are three different styles David used to pray to God.
这很有趣哦，我们可以来试看看。第一种呢是美言撒娇式的祷告。
So the first style is the kind words, praising type of prayer.
这段祷告仿佛在夸赞神有慈爱，他施行拯救，似乎在向神说一些好听奉承的话，以为呢灌了米汤之后呢，神就会答应你所求的一切了。
So the verse sounds like David's trying to say something very nice to God and to flatter him.
但是我告诉你，其实不是这样子的。
But it's not so.
因为神不能够被贿赂的，包括用甜言蜜语来收买贿赂。
So God will not accept your bribe, neither through offering nor through words.
也许人会如此。
Maybe man will accept.
我知道我们当中有人，你如果夸他很帅，夸他很棒，他一定请你吃饭的。
So I know someone like if you call him handsome, he will buy you lunch.
你都多夸一个人，他已经对你非常好了。但是告诉你，神绝对不会如此。
But I tell you that God will not do such things.
但我认为这里的祷告不同的是，就像小孩跟父亲撒娇一样。
So I'm seeing here like the prayer difference here is he prays in a way like a child talking to his parents.
你想象你的孩子在跟你撒娇，这是代表什么？是代表这种人与人之间的关系的感情的建立。
So just thinking about your child talking to you, it's some sort of establishing the relationship.
这有没有什么错啊？没什么错啊。
But there's nothing wrong about it.
人跟神祷告也是如此的，是跟神建立一个亲密的关系，没有什么不对。
So when we pray to God, it's also the same. We're establishing a close relationship with God. There's nothing wrong about it.
但与其我们说在美言撒娇，倒不如说是他知道抓住神的应许。我告诉你，这招才厉害。
So we rather than saying that he prayed with good words.I'd rather say that he actually know God's heart.
因为他抓住神，不会背乎自己的道理。
Because he know that God is merciful.
他不能够违背自己的原则啊。
And God will not bend rules.
好，例如说，我们知道神是公义的，所以他就不能够善恶不分啊。
Because we know that God is just and he will not ignore evil.
那我们知道神是慈爱的，所以他就不能够见死不救啊。
And we know God is merciful and he will not watch you perish.
所以他就抓住神这种满有慈爱的这个属性。
So that's why David grasped this God is merciful.
所以他说，以你的慈爱要拯救我，你不能够见死不救啊。
Because he knows that, so he know God will not let him
die. 神岂能违背这个原则而不救他呢？
So God cannot let him
perish. 那这样的话，就到时候就为人诟病了。当然我们也可以这样祷告神，因为神也许我们这样的祷告。
Of course we can pray in such style because the promise is the same to David and to us.
好，例如当年亚伯拉罕就曾经用这样的方式来替索多玛祷告。
Just like Abraham prayed for Sodom.
因为神要毁灭整个城啊，所有的人都要杀死啊。
Because God gonna destroy the whole city.
哎，结果亚伯拉罕怎么祷告
？And then Abraham said.
我们一起来读好不好
？Let's read together.
预备，请。像义人，
像义人，像义人一二。Treating the righteous and the wicked alike, far be it from you, the judge of all the earth.
哎，所以神就垂听他的祈求啊。
So God did listen to his prayer.
这是第一种啊，美言撒娇是祷告。
Style.
那第二种祷告的风格是激将法，谈判式的祷告。
So the second style is stimulating and negotiating.
我们来读第五节，预备，请。因为
在这里
在阴间，
在
好，大卫抓住神的心，他与他好好讲理由，好像谈判一样。
So David know God's heart and reason with him.
这好比你在公司上班，然后呢你想跟老板请假出去玩，可是你知道最近大家同事大家都在加班赶货，老板一定不同意的。
So it's just like when you work in the company and then you want to take a day off to have some fun, but you know everybody is working overtime.
那这时候你可能很聪明，你就会跟老板这样说。
And then you would say like that.
你说老板，你知道我最近加班连续加班好多天了，我身体负荷太大了，需要好好休息两天来纾解压力，这样才会有效率。
So you would say, hey, due to constant working overtime, in order to increase efficiency, my body really need a break.
否则的话，万一我身体垮了，我病倒了，有谁来帮你完工呢？
Otherwise, if I get sick, the whole work will be delayed. Who can help you finish it?
你找新人来也来不及训练，那到时候公司损失就更惨重了。
And then if you hire a new person, then you have to train them, and then the company end will lose.
我这听起来是不是恐吓啊？事实上不是恐吓，是运用这种谈判式的技巧。
So it is not threatening, but it's kind of a negotiation and persuasion.
Yeah, 同样的，大卫知道如何用这种运用这样子的激将法，这种谈判式的祷告来跟神周旋。
So David know how to use this kind of style prayers to persuade God.
他对神说，你知道我一生是为了敬拜侍奉你，所以他这句话的祷告的潜台词是说，假如你不拯救我，让我灭亡，世人如何继续敬拜侍奉你呢？
So David trying to persuade God because God knows in David's whole life will be serving him. So in other words, David said, hey, God, you have to save me. You can't let me die because I'm going to be serving you all my life.
欸、这招似乎也有效哦。
And this is really efficient.
因为当年摩西也曾经这样祷告。
And also, I remember before Moses also prayed for Israelite in the same style.
有一次百姓在旷野向摩西亚伦发怒。
So there's one time the Israelites were very angry at Moses in the wilderness.
他不但想立一位领袖带他们回埃及，甚至想要拿石头来打死摩西亚伦。
They not only want to elect another leader, bring them back to Egypt, but also trying to stone them.
幸好这时候神的荣光向会众显现，并且责备他们藐视神，要到几时呢
？So, and at that time, the glory of the Lord appeared, and blame those Israelites.
于是神发怒，准备用瘟疫击杀这些人。
So God is angry and trying to strike them down with a plague.
哦，这时候摩西他就开口为百姓祷告求赦免。
And then this time Moses started to pray for the Israelites.
那他就用谈判式的跟神祷告。
And he was trying to negotiate and persuade God.
啊，他怎么祷告呢？我们一起来读。
Let's read.
来，预备，请民数记十三，来，那把这神一杀了，如杀一人。人的必须一人说：“耶和华因为不能把这百姓，真辛苦，真困。”
In the wilderness，
哎，讲的好不好？有没有道理？
So、
神是讲道理的，是不是？后来神有没有改变心意
？And then did God change his mind？
有啊，果然神就改变心意。你说这招厉不厉害？厉害啊！请注意哦，我并不是鼓励大家跟神讨价还价。
So here has to pay attention. I'm not encouraging you to bargain with God.
而是要懂得抓住神的心，知道如何跟神运用谈判式的祷告。
But you have to know God's heart so you can be effectively persuade him.
好，最后一种祷告是第六到第七节，那叫做夸张耍赖式的祷告。
So the third style is exaggerating.
多夸张呢？我们一起来读第六、第七节。
Let's read together.
预备，请。我因哀恨困乏，把杖挑起，把这个我因仇者已经干瘪，又因哇，什么夸张耍赖式的祷告呢？什么是这也是祷告啊
？So this is what is exaggeration？
我们来想象一下，假如你家的孩子想要叫你买一双名牌球鞋给他
，So just imagine if your child want a new pair of sneakers.
然后呢，他就告诉你，我现在穿的这个鞋子已经破了好几个大洞。
He said the shoes I'm wearing have many holes.
学校所有的同学都在取笑我。
And all the kids at school are laughing at me.
如果没有穿跟大家一样的球鞋，就会被同学排挤。
And if I don't wear the same kind of sneakers, everybody will not play with me.
以后我就连一个朋友都没有了。
And I have no friends.
那我以后的日子就很痛苦了。
And at school I'll be miserable.
啊，请问。事实上真的如此吗
？So do you think the reality is really so？
你明明知道，虽然他不是在说谎，可是90%都是夸大其词。
And you know, however, he's not lying, but
为的是要博取你的同情。
But 90% of it is exaggeration for your compassion and sympathy.
但最后的可能就是你还是心软。就买给他了，对不对
？And the possibility at the end is you probably will buy him that pair of sneakers.
怎么没有人理我，对不对？对哈，好。同样的，大卫为了博取神的同情，他何其夸张的祷告！他说，居然能祷告流泪，祷告到把床榻都飘起，然后把狮子的褥子都湿透。你表演给我看，怎么可能？
So David here is totally exaggerating his condition, saying that he flood his bed with weeping and drench his couch with tears. So, and show me how can he do that?
然后他还因为愁忧愁到眼睛都看不见了。你示范给我看。
And also he said his eyes grow weak with sorrow.
这怎么可能啊
？How is possible?
啊，我说这就是夸张哈，就是耍赖式的祷告。
So I say it's exaggeration.
那请问有没有效？
But is it effective?
欸，好像还蛮管用的。
And I think it is.
为什么？因为神真的很容易心软。
Because God has a tender heart.
当年摩西带领百姓进入埃及， 要领受神所应许的这个迦南美地，领受神的赐福，多好啊！
So when God chose Moses to lead the Israelites into the land of Canaan,
但是摩西却这样祷告。
But Moses said,
他说：“你若不亲自和我同去，就不要把我们怎么样从这里领上去。”
He said, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here."
那摩西看重神的同在胜过神的祝福。
So Moses, look at God's presence more than God's blessing.
但是他却用一种好像耍赖的祷告，意思就是说，你若不跟我们一起去，你干脆就不要把我们带出去了。
So we can hear the tone here is that if you're not coming with us, don't let us go.
你不跟我们去，我们都不要去了。
And then we're not going.
啊，这招有没有效
？Is it effective?
啊，我们可不可以这样祷告？
Can we pray like that?
你回去试试看吧，不是跟我讲，是你试试看。你要操练，不要光说不做。
So go home, try it. Don't only say it and without practicing.
啊，最后一个步骤就是要信心的宣告。
And the third step is confidently proclaim the victory.
好，第八节到第十节。
Verses 8-10.
好，我们一起来读一遍，请每切做你的，你给我吧，因为耶和华听了我哀求的声音。耶和华听了我的哀求，耶和华必收纳我的祷告，我的一切仇敌都必羞愧，大大惊惶，他们必要忽然羞愧。好，克服患难呢，不光是勇敢的去承认问题，接受事实，然后迫切祷告，完了就没事了。
So to overcome difficulty is not only admitting the problem, accepting the reality and praying.
因为艰难环境可能仍旧没变。
Because sometimes this kind of situation still there.
然而接下来的行动才能够帮助我们告别艰难，也就是我们要信心的宣告得胜，至少包括以下三方面。
So our next action can really help us say goodbye to it. That is to proclaim victory in confidence.
好，第一个是要宣告恶者的离去。
So first we have to proclaim the departure of the evil.
这是有关于个人自信的重建。
So it's about rebuild your self-confidence.
好，第八节这样说，他说：“你们一切作孽的人怎么样？离开我吧，因为耶和华听了我哀哭的声音。”
So verse 8 says, "Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping."
那当时的场景不是说那些作孽的人排一排在他面前，然后大卫就当面赶他们出去，不是这样子的。是大卫信心的宣告说，你们这些作恶的人，那些不可能躲在什么地方，他看不见，那些人也听不到，可是他却这样要他们宣告他们的离开，因为神已经垂听他的祷告，也就是哀哭的声音。
So at that time it's not like all those people who do evil are lining up in front of him. He said, go away, but in his heart he's already believe and proclaim to them that God has already heard his weeping.
你看，当他用这种哭求的方式做完这个信心的宣告之后，我告诉你，最大的改变乃是他整个人的自信被重新恢复了。
So after he has done that, the biggest change is he has gained confidence.
而不再恐惧而将自己躲藏起来了。
And he's no longer hiding and be afraid.
同样的，今天在我们生命当中，也许我们没有办法拒绝来自仇敌恶者的攻击。
So maybe in our lives today, we cannot defend yourself from the attack of the evil.
他们借着一些行恶的事、行恶事的人在你周围来陷害你，你也没有办法来避免。
And you cannot avoid from those who are trying to do you harm.
但是你这时候已经渐渐失去从神而来的平安跟喜乐，取而代之的是恐惧与愁苦。
And you're slowly losing the joy and the peace in the Lord and start to fear and worry.
于是你就开始怀疑人生，失去自信。
And then you start to doubt your life and lose your faith.
所以这时候你需要的就是要勇敢的宣告。
And this time you need to bravely proclaim.
宣告这些恶人已经离开了。
And proclaim that evil be away.
所有负面情绪垃圾也都离开了。
And all the bad thought be away.
使自己恢复自信来迎接新生。
and build your faith and embrace the new birth.
重新活在神所为你预备那喜乐丰盛的生命当中。
And live in the peace and joy that God has prepared for you.
意思就是说，你不要再去管那一些作恶的人了。
So that means don't mind those evil anymore.
因为他们不但在今世会被拒绝，将来在永生当中也会再次被拒绝。
It's not because they're not only in this life they will be driven away, but also in eternity.
正如耶稣曾经在比喻中已经说过这样的话。
Just like Jesus said.
啊，路加福音十三章二十七节。
Luke 13.
我们一起来读好不好？预备，去。好，他要说：“我告诉你，我不要的，你们是从哪里来？你们这一切作恶的人，离开我去吧。”好，第二个宣告是要宣告上帝的信实。
The second one is we proclaim God is faithful.
这是有关于真神掌权的确据。
This is about God in charge.
那这里讲说，耶和华听我的恳求，耶和华必收纳我的祷告。
Here said, the Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer.
神的信实是表现在他绝不会离弃我们，始终在等待罪人的悔改，倾听世人的祷告。
So God is faithful, and He will not desert us. He is patiently waiting for sinners to repent.
当我们宣告神的信实，就是要我们以信心接受这样子的事实。
So when we proclaim God is faithful, and we also need to believe that it's true.
我们常常在讲说信心是什么？信心绝对不是蒙着眼睛往下跳，那个叫自杀。
So what we say faith is not covering your eyes and jump. That's called suicide.
信心是与亲身经历息息相关。
So faith has close connections with your personal experience.
是有很深厚的基础。
And there is a foundation.
假如我说上帝是垂听祷告的神，这句话对你而言是一种心理作用的安慰，还是心有同感的见证？
So when I say God is a God who listens to our prayers, are those just some comforting words or it's a testimony?
那这是根据你跟上帝的经历，你的回答就不一样。
Based on your experience with God, your answer might be different.
与其我说你对这是你对神信心的大小，其实更实际的是你对神亲身领悟的深浅而决定的。
So I would rather prefer that it's based on how much personal experiences you have with God than how much faith you have.
正如一位亲身尝过主恩滋味的人，你让他拒绝相信有神的存在，这是不可能的。
When a person truly experiences the saving grace of God, it's impossible for him to not believe again.
所以当大卫这样宣告说，耶和华听了我的恳求，耶和华必收纳我的祷告，这说明大卫非常确定神的信实，这就证明他已经走出患难。
So when David prayed, God has heard my prayer, that means he believed in his heart.
诶，怎么说呢？光说这一句话，就他就走出患难。
So did he say that, and then he will walk out of his difficulties?
啊，我们来换一个角度来想这个问题。
So let's change.
如果你要问说，我们要如何知道这一个人已经走出患难，已经克服患难了？你要怎么知道他
？So how can we tell if this person has already overcome? How can you tell?
你看得出来吗？
Can you tell from just a look?
但是我发现其实非常简单的，因为最大的证据就是他已经不再怀疑神是否听他的祷告。
But I think I have the biggest evidence is if he has no longer doubt God has heard his prayer.
假如这个人就在怀疑说神是否离弃他，他不确定神是否在听他的祷告，那表示这个人还没有真正走出患难，走出艰难，同不同意？
So if you still worry about whether God has abandoned him or whether God still listened to his prayer, that means he has not walked out of his sufferings.
好，最后一个宣告，也就是最后一节，就是宣告仇敌的羞愧。
So the third one is to proclaim the shame of the enemy.
这是有关于恶者最终的结局。
So that's the ending of all the evildoers.
第十节，我们一起来读。
Three, ten together.
北京，我的一切仇敌都必羞愧，大大惊惶。他们必要后退，然后羞愧。 好，金黄啊，这个字曾经大卫用来形容他自己，在第三节。
So ashamed, David used to describe himself in verse 3.
但是这里却在宣告形容他的敌人。
But here he uses to describe his enemies.
不但是惊惶，还再加上羞愧、退后，然后再一个羞愧。
So it's not only ashamed, but also dismayed and turned back in disgrace.
即使在这里宣告仇敌的羞愧，并不是去咒诅这些仇敌不得好死啊，没有好的下场。不是这样子的。
So here, David didn't curse them.
而是在提醒自己不要落到相同悲惨的结局。
He just reminded himself.
那为什么
fall into the same situation?
为什么特别要重复提及羞愧呢？
Why he mentioned shame here again?
啊，羞愧意思就是为了自己过去所做的愚蠢事懊悔不已。
So it means the regret.Of the foolish things he has done in the past.
还有一个意义就是说失去光彩而受到羞辱。
And also express the shame he has experienced losing his glory.
啊，作为基督徒的我们，无论在今生所面对的患难再大，受到的羞辱再多，但是不要忘记，我们将来会与主一同得到同享荣耀的。
So as Christians, doesn't matter how much sufferings we have, how great a shame people put on us, but don't forget the glory that is waiting for us in eternity.
正如保罗的提醒，
Just like Paul said,
在罗马书八章十八节，
in Romans 8:18,
不无论你受到再大的患难，
doesn't matter how big suffering you encounter,
将来有一个荣耀。
And then,
我们一起来读罗马书八章十八节，
Let's read together.
预备，请。我想现在的苦楚若比起将来要先荣耀就不足介意了。但是对比于羞愧，它所代表的是将来永远的沉沦与刑罚，这是非常可怕的。
So shame represents sorrow and punishment.
所以宣告仇敌羞愧另外一个意思就是提醒自己已经得着这救恩，是得胜的而不是挫败的。
So to proclaim your enemy be ashamed is to proclaim God has saved you.
他将来的结局是跟仇敌不同的。
And his ending will be different from his enemies.
所以当大卫有这样的转念，他就不再陷入苦难的光景而为自己悲叹不已了。
And when he understands this, he will not no longer weeping for himself.
我相信这就代表他已经走出患难了，不是吗？
And I think that's a sign of him walking out of his suffering.
所以患难并不可怕。
So suffering is not terrifying.
可怕的是什么？可怕的是当我们遇到患难的时候，我们束手无策。
But what is terrifying is you don't know how to handle it.
我们虽然不能够逃避患难的来临，
However, we cannot avoid suffering.
不过我们却可以选择欢喜的来面对患难。
But we can.
而且最终我们还不至于羞耻。
So we can face it with joy and not be ashamed.
因为我们可以靠神得胜这一切。
Because we can rely on God to overcome.
不要忘记保罗在罗马书对我们的提醒。
And don't forget, Paul remind us in Romans 5.
让我们一起来攻读。
Let's read together.
第五章三到五节。预备，请。不但如此，就是在患难中也是欢欢喜喜的，因为知道患难生忍耐，忍耐生老练，老练生盼望，盼望不至于羞耻，因为神将神的爱浇灌在我们心里。所以经历患难的过程让我们更加成长，变得越是成熟。
So suffering can make us grow and mature.
但事实上有谁喜欢都处在患难呢？
But generally speaking, who wants to suffer?
所以克服患难才是真正解决之道。
So how to overcome is a real goal.
我们今天也带着使命。
We have our goal.
就像我们刚刚讲的，我们当中许多人正在患难当中。
Just as I said, there are so many people among us.
或许我们自己就在患难当中。
And maybe we are suffering right now.
我们要怎么样帮助这些人，或是我们要怎么样走出患难？
And how to help those people, and how to help ourselves to walk out of it.
我们带着一个使命。
We have our mission.
从大卫的榜样，我们要学会勇敢的面对问题。
From David's example, we learn we need to face our problem bravely.
因为逃避绝对不能带来改变或者是转机。
Because running away will not change a thing.
第二步，我们要竭力的操练祷告。
And second, we need to practice prayer.
因为神始终在垂听我们各种的祈求。
Because God is listening.
还有，我们要信心的宣告得胜。
And also, we have to proclaim victory.
因为我们里面的环境要先被改变，外面的环境才能够被改变。
Because we have to change ourselves from within, and then outside situation will change.
倘若我们能够坚持这样的操练，我相信无论再大的患难临到我们，我们都能够重新得力，克服患难了。
If we can grasp all these principles, and I believe we can overcome everything.
所以让我们一起彼此鼓励，一起克服我们生命中各种不同的患难，也立志去帮助那些遭遇患难的人。
So let us encourage each other to overcome.And the difficulties in our lives, not only so, but also help those who are suffering.
使他们早日脱离阴霾的笼罩，去迎接灿烂的阳光。你们说好不好？
So that they can come out of the danger and darkness and into the sunlight.
让我们一起来回应这首诗歌，信靠顺服。
Let's sing 322 Trust.